ready or not. The MLB season starts Thursday. We're talking just over 48 hours away. The Mariners open at Houston on Friday. He's the guy who covers the team for ESPN 710 in Seattle, online 710sports.com, on Twitter. Use the handle @B Gustafson. Brandon joins us. Brandon, appreciate the time. How are things going during this insanity that is now our lives?
Well, having live baseball that actually means something starting on Thursday and Friday has definitely put a pep in my step, even though for the most part every day is kind of rolling together. But no, I'm really excited to get things going with baseball here.
I am so in. I know we talked about it when you were on last month, but Marco Gonzalez set to start the opener, duel with Verlander. This is a guy who last year first threw 200 innings, 34 starts, 116. So legit to think Scott Servais and his second-year pitching coach, Paul Davis, are pretty high on what he's capable of as far as fronting this staff.
Yeah, he's definitely the go-to guy, innings eater. I think that one of the things with Marco that he talks about is that he's consistent. He likes to, you know, he hangs his hat on keeping the Mariners in games. And even though they weren't really competitive last year, that's something that he was still always able to do. You know, he's not the most overpowering guy, fastball in the high 80s, but really, really good changeup, deceptive, mixes in the curveball as well. And when he's really rolling, he's got that good cutter that he busts in on right-handed hitters. So it's going to be fun to see him on Friday dueling it out with Verlander, who, you know, power right-hander, tale of two very different styles. But he's definitely the guy for this pretty proven starting rotation that we're going to see in 2020.
Yeah, speaking of, I see Taijuan Walker is set to throw the second game. He was originally Seattle's first-round pick, went to Arizona for Mitch Haniger and Gene Segura. Now he's back with Seattle. Two injury-plagued seasons, Tommy John surgery. So he got a one-year deal, I guess. What's the word on his health and how confident they are that, you know, he could help stabilize the top of that rotation?
Yeah, they kind of eased him back into things during spring training. He wasn't kind of raring out of the gate like the rest of the guys were, but everything seems to be good. He looked really, really sharp his last outing, and it showed how much trust the organization had with him, where he basically picked out the opposing lineup and was like, hey, I want to face him, I want to face him. Jared Kelnick was one of those guys, and he ended up hitting him out, I think, jammed him inside on a changeup, I believe. But overall, no, he looks good, and I was pretty surprised that he was going to be the second guy. I thought that was going to go to Kendall Graveman just because it seemed like he was a little bit further ahead than Walker. But if Servais and all them are tabbing him as the second starter, that's definitely a good sign as far as his health goes.
Talking Mariners with Brandon Gustafson of ESPN 710 in Seattle. I guess we need to get familiar with some newer faces or maybe a refresher. Omar Navarez caught 90 games last year. Tom Murphy, most of the rest. Showed some pop with 18 homers and about 250 at-bats. Nailed about 40% of his base runners trying to steal. Navarro now in Milwaukee. So is the gig Murphy? And what do you like about his potential?
I think that they're going to do more of a platoon than people expect with Austin Nola. And he was another guy who I think surprised a lot of people, where they just couldn't keep him out of the lineup. You know, they stuck him at first base, third base, outfield, wherever. But with Murphy, yeah, the pop is there. It's incredible pop. Something that general manager Jerry DePoto likes to joke about is just how tough that Tom Murphy is. I'm like, hey, if there's a fight, he's my first pick. If anybody's going to win the Hunger Games, he's my pick. But yeah, he had a really good year overall. I think he surprised a lot of people. He's kind of seen as a leader on this team too, and that kind of comes with the catcher position, and also he's a little more established than some of these other guys are. I know that Jerry had talked about if he's able to kind of work more walks, cut down the strikeouts a little bit, the rest of the numbers there and defensively, they're all-star numbers overall over the stretch of 162 games. I think that this pitching staff, because you have some young guys like Dunn and Sheffield, are really going to be helped out by having a guy like Murphy behind the plate.
D. Gordon started 111 games at second, but when training camp shut down in March, it sure looked like they were leaning towards Shed Long, played more outfield, actually, than second as a rookie. You know, he's kind of had an interesting path, the Reds, the Yankees, then Seattle. So is he going to open this season as the starter? And for those not overly familiar, what about his game?
Yeah, it looks like Shed Long is going to be the guy at second base for the most part. I still think that Gordon will get some time there, and part of that is because I think that the team will try to move him during the August trade deadline. They're positioning Gordon all over. He's played some shortstop in camp. I believe he played left field a few times this week also when he got back out there. Shed is somebody who has a pretty decent amount of pop. What's funny is he started his pro career as a catcher, and he kind of moved all around. And when he came here, they kind of tried him out of third base a little bit. They put him in left field, and it seems like they're pretty confident in his ability to stick at second base because they just haven't really been putting him around in different positions as much. He's somebody that I think, for the time being at least, they're going to try to put at or near the top of the lineup. He's led off a few of these inter-squad games. He's hit second. He's got a pretty good eye, good feel for the zone, and he just offers a little more just in terms of at the plate than Gordon does. Gordon, obviously, is still one of the faster guys in baseball. He's going to steal bases. He can bunt for hits and things like that. So it's a little bit of a tale of two guys in terms of what they bring overall, but Shed is definitely an interesting piece, and they don't have a ton of middle infield depth in the organization as far as their prospects go. So I think that they're pretty high on him, looking to hopefully stick him at second base for years to come.
We continue our Mariner tutorial with Brandon Gustafson. I know you're an actual Mariner guy, so, you know, when you think about this team, Felix is gone, Haniger's on the shelf. So just the fan in you who has followed this franchise, have you ever seen a season with just so many new or unfamiliar faces where you feel like you almost got to carry around a depth chart with you just to keep up?
I'd say no, just because that's how I felt last year a little bit. And over the last few years with Jerry, he makes so many trades, and it seems like it always makes me think, like, all right, well, walking into the clubhouse, do these guys need name tags on? Like, hi, my name is so-and-so. But I think that we've seen them use so many pitchers out of the pen. They've had their share of injuries with starting pitching and just different parts of the team also. They used more guys, I believe, last year than any team in MLB history. So I'm really not expecting too much of that this year. Last year seemed way more just kind of like a patchwork, like, hey, we just got to get through it. We need guys to eat innings in the field and on the mound, 162 games, just get us through. But with this, you have guys that you know they're banking the future on, with Evan White at first base. Kyle Lewis is going to play some outfield for you. Probably some center field and right field with Haniger out. So probably not as much as last year, but there's definitely still that element where people that might not be following the team and the farm system as close as others are going to be like, who the heck is this guy? And that's to be expected with a rebuild.
Yeah, well, maybe not who followed as closely as you do. At shortstop, J.P. Crawford was originally a first-round pick of the Phillies. Then there was a trade for Segura and Nicasio. Started about 100 games. And, you know, he's still just 25. And it was a big season. This is a big season for him, as for the first time he's arbitration eligible. So how etched is he as the starter, and what do you like about his game?
Oh, he's the guy. They don't really have somebody else that's going to play there. I mean, they could stick D. Gordon there if need be, but they want JP to hold that down as long as he can. The glove is phenomenal, and that highlight reel play that he made last year that they just dubbed the throw against the Detroit Tigers, that backhand deep in the hole, not even setting his feet and just throwing an absolute dart from basically shallow left field and gunning the guy out. That's stuff that, you know, obviously you're not going to see that on a day in and day out basis, but they think that his fundamentals there are really good. They think he can be an above average shortstop. He worked really hard with infield coach Perry Hill since he's gotten here at the start of last year. And I know that one thing that happened when during one of the first inter-squad games was he had a home run to right center field, and I think it was DePoto who was in the booth said, oh yeah, he added 15 to 18 pounds of muscle over the off season and during the time off. So he was kind of always a slasher, line drive hitter, you know, hitting the ball hard on the ground, but maybe we might see those power numbers go up, which is always a welcome sight.
No, I'm really wired into him. I like his game. A couple final thoughts for Brandon of ESPN 710 in Seattle. Center field, of course, hallowed ground for this franchise, from Griffey to Cameron. Malik Smith came over from Tampa prior to last year. Great wheels. So how good of a glove is he out there, and how important is it he get back to the nice offensive numbers we saw with the Rays in 2018?
Yeah, he struggled a little bit in the field. I know there were times when it just didn't look like he was getting the best reads off the bat, but I think overall he plays a pretty solid center field, and he's just so freaking fast, and he's got a pretty good arm to boot. Center field is going to be his unless, you know, unless he kind of has a stretch like he did to open last season, where he was striking out too much. His timing just wasn't very good. And part of that was simply because he was hurt towards the end of spring training, and he wasn't able to get his timing down, and they kind of rushed him up a little bit. But the speed is going to play. I know he bunted for a base hit in his first game back the other day. And he's just a fun personality, too. He was talking about how during the time off he was living with his parents in Florida on their property, but he wasn't staying inside. He was sleeping in a tent. And he was saying his mom was just begging him to come inside at times, but he said just kind of getting off the grid. He wasn't using Wi-Fi or anything like that. He was just enjoying nature. He was saying he was hoping that there was some positive juju coming out of it. Those were his words, not mine. So hopefully he can kind of inflect that into the defense lineup going forward.
I like that. Some people get mocked for staying in mommy's basement. He's staying in her yard in a tent. That's a new
definitely,
one.
Definitely different, that's for sure. Don't hear that too often. Guys making millions of dollars.
I love it. That's cheap housing. Lastly, literally the closer. Last year it was Elias. I think he had 14 saves. He's now with the Nats. Matt McGill came over from the Twins a year ago. And, you know, the five saves he chalked up were the first five of his career. He's got pretty good stuff. So is he the closer? I mean, what's the word about his status, or who else might be in the mix for late inning work?
Yeah, that's a tough one. They haven't really played their hand at that so far, at least nothing that I've seen or heard. The guy that I would guess would probably be most people's picks would be Austin Adams. He was recovering from an ACL tear, but before he injured his knee, he was pitching really, really well. He's got good mid-high 90s fastball, really, really hard slider, and I know that the spin rates on both of those are just elite, elite. But he's also somebody that it seems like can throw multiple innings, so maybe instead of wanting to use him exclusively for ninth inning leads, which with this team there probably won't be too many of those, to be perfectly honest, but maybe it's, you know, seventh inning, one out, runners on the corners or something like that. He's kind of the stopper, the guy that stops the bleeding, so to speak. That could be the guy, in my opinion. McGill showed he can do it a little bit last year too, but kind of like I just said, it's not really too critical of a position for this team, at least this year, just because I don't expect them to be leading too many of their games in the ninth inning. I hope I'm wrong, but that's just kind of my gut feeling on it.
All right. Hey, great information as always. I'm officially much more ready for the season. Folks, he's the guy who covers the team for ESPN 710 in Seattle. Online, visit 710sports.com. On Twitter, the handle is at the B Gustafson. Brandon, appreciate the time. Great info and insight. And enjoy the start of the season, and look forward to catching up as this thing gets rolling.
Hey, likewise, Friday at 6:10 Pacific. Let's go, baby.
Right. Hey, Brandon, great talking with you, man. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too, Steve. See ya.
All right.